Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air involving the vaccines. A CDC panel voting late today on who will get a vaccine first and how soon. As the head of the FDA is summoned to the White House today and is asked why the Pfizer vaccine hasn't been approved yet for emergency use. His answer, as hospitals now buy freezers to store the vaccine at minus 94 degrees. And there is new guidance from the CDC coming in tonight if you've been exposed to the virus. This evening, the increasing numbers across the country, nearly 100,000 Americans now in the hospital fighting COVID. In New York City tonight, officials urging older adults and people at high risk to limit time outside their homes. Two-thirds of the city's ICU beds are now full. The plea for retired nurses and doctors to be ready, and the retired doctor coming back onto the front lines for a second time now. And tonight, the ICU nurse dying in the hospital where he worked for 25 years. The major headline tonight involving President Trump and the election. Today, the Attorney General Bill Barr, who has sided with the president often, now saying the Justice Department has found no evidence of widespread voting fraud. And tonight, is the president now considering pardons for members of the Trump family, including himself? John Carl with late reporting. President-elect Joe Biden formally introducing his new economic team, telling Americans struggling that, quote, help is on the way. The urgent manhunt tonight underway for a serial attacker in an American suburb here in the Northeast. The suspect striking at least 10 times, where they're searching, and what the police chief is now saying. We now hear tonight from that missing boater saved at sea after clinging to a submerged boat to survive. And the storm warnings from Ohio to New York tonight. Heavy snow in Cleveland and east, up to a foot in some places. And what's coming next? Ginger Z tracking it all.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on this Tuesday night. We have a lot to get to tonight. President Trump and the election and the Attorney General Bill Barr. The AG today declaring there was no evidence of widespread voting fraud. But we're going to begin tonight with news coming in right now from the CDC. The vote this evening by a committee of experts recommending who should get the vaccine first. And tonight, even with the first batch of Pfizer vaccine here in the U.S. already, Pfizer is waiting for emergency use authorization. The head of the FDA was at the White House today and was asked why no approval yet. When should Americans expect it? Tonight, hospitalizations rising in 43 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. The number of patients fighting COVID in the hospital, more than 96,000. That's another record. And tonight in New York City, hospitalizations back where they were in June, and they are asking retired nurses and doctors to be prepared to help. In fact, the number of hospitalizations in New York City more than doubling in just the last 3 weeks. The governor very alarmed with what they're seeing here. But we're going to begin here tonight with that vote a short time ago at the CDC, the recommendation on the vaccines and who should get them first. ABC Steve Osunsami at the CDC leading us off in Atlanta.
American health officials tonight are calling it phase 1A. After an emergency meeting in Atlanta, they've decided to encourage the nation's governors to give the first available doses of the coronavirus vaccine to certain seniors and healthcare workers.
In discussions with the jurisdictions, most of them believe that they can vaccinate all of their healthcare workers within 3 weeks.
The government is expecting about 40 million doses from two drug makers in the next few weeks, enough to immunize 20 million Americans. The experts took a vote and said that the best use of these first shipments is to first cover some of the heroes, the nation's 21 million healthcare workers, including those who work in hospitals, pharmacies, and clinics. And they say we also need to try and first immunize the most at risk, the nation's 3 million seniors and the people who care for them, who live in nursing homes and assisted living. 40% of all coronavirus deaths in this country happened in these long-term care facilities.
If we can pull together as a country and in the next 60 days vaccinate all of these residents, we can cut the death rate almost in half.
The FDA still hasn't yet approved any of the vaccines for emergency use, and the head of the agency got an earful from the White House today because of this. He explains that the Pfizer vaccine could get a green light after a meeting next week.
No one at FDA is sitting on his hands or her hands. Everybody's working really hard to look at these applications and get this done.
Once the FDA says yes, the states have to make tough decisions. California, for example, will get about 327,000 doses in the next few weeks. but there are more than 2.4 million Californians who work in healthcare. In the city of Chicago, about 25,000 doses are already dedicated.
We have plans that will start with all 37 Chicago hospitals receiving vaccine for healthcare workers, not yet for patients. And we have plans for all 128 long-term care facilities in Chicago.
This is going to be a Herculean effort. Let's get right to Steve Osunsami with us live from the CDC because there's news on another front tonight. I know the CDC out with new guidance tonight, planning to shorten the recommended quarantine time for people who believe they've been exposed to others with the virus.
That's right, David. The CDC briefed the White House on this today, so this is becoming real. Currently, if you are exposed to someone who is infected with the coronavirus, you are expected to quarantine for 14 days. What they're changing it to is this. If you can get a negative test, that quarantine would become 7 days. Without one, 10 days. The idea behind this is that 14 days is too restrictive for most Americans, and that 7 or 10 days is much more realistic. David.
All right. Steve Osunsami leading us off tonight. Steve, thank you. And tonight, hear the scene from inside hospitals across this country. In New York City, ICUs are now two-thirds full. They're calling for those retired nurses and doctors. So many have returned already. Tonight, one doctor back now for a second time. And the ICU nurse dying at the same hospital where he worked for 25 years. Here's our chief national affairs correspondent, Tom Yamas, tonight.
Tonight, as cases surge, New York issuing new warnings, calling for help, and fearing a return to the early and dire days of this pandemic. In New York City, hospitalizations more than doubling over the past 3 weeks, the highest since June, and the mayor asking older adults and people with underlying health conditions to limit activities outside the home, to only travel for work, school, or essential purposes.
We need you. We need you, if you're older, you have pre-existing conditions, to take additional precautions.
The city also asking for people to donate blood, as ICUs are two-thirds full. And New York Governor Andrew Cuomo calling on retired healthcare workers to return to the front lines. Dr. Ann Saxberg coming out of retirement for a second time to pitch in.
I wish that this, that we would recognize that we're all in this boat together. Some people die of this, and we really need to take care of each other.
Across the country tonight, the U.S. nearing another terrible milestone. 100,000 people in the hospital with COVID-19 and healthcare workers bracing for that nightmare scenario, a surge upon a surge.
We're all very tired. I'm very tired.
We're preparing for the worst.
It doesn't get easier.
In Reno, Nevada, Dr. Jacob Kieperman posting this photo saying he'd seen 5 deaths in the previous 32 hours.
We at some point might get to a breaking point.
And still, some medical workers are paying the ultimate price. Gary Woodward worked as an ICU nurse in Nashville for 25 years.
He had a passion for caring for his patients.
Woodward dying Saturday at the same hospital he worked for so long.
His family was his all. Everything we did together as a family. He was our rock, and that rock is gone.
We're thinking about all these families and that dedicated nurse. Let's get right to Tom back with us tonight. And Tom, I know there's a study out tonight finding that the virus might have been here in the U.S. Many weeks earlier than thought, as early as mid-December last year. And I know they looked at blood donations collected by the American Red Cross. They found antibodies for COVID-19.
That's right, David. Yet another study that showed the coronavirus was spreading around the world and even here in the United States well before public health officials knew something was going wrong. And as you mentioned, the study came from the CDC. It showed Americans had the coronavirus sometime in mid-December of 2019. And David, some of the states where they found it may surprise our viewers. Places like Michigan, Iowa, and Wisconsin. David.
Yeah, that was really interesting because that was not where we saw the initial spikes. Tom, thank you for that. We're going to turn next here this evening to President Trump and the election and the attorney general who has so often been on the president's side, declaring today that the Justice Department has found no evidence of widespread voting fraud. He then went to the White House, and here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
Attorney General Bill Barr arrived at the White House today just minutes after declaring he has found no evidence of widespread voter fraud, directly contradicting the president's claims that the election was stolen.
We know there was massive fraud.
But Barr told the Associated Press today, quote, "We have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election." He specifically shot down one of the president's most explosive claims, that voting machines were manipulated to help Joe Biden win, saying simply, "We haven't seen anything to substantiate that." This is especially significant because Barr has been among the president's most steadfast defenders. Shortly after the election, he authorized Justice Department lawyers to go look for fraud, but they found nothing. The president recently implied that DOJ itself was involved in some kind of sinister plot.
This is total fraud, and how the FBI and Department of Justice, I don't know, maybe they're involved.
For Attorney General Barr, this was just too much. As he told the AP, there's a growing tendency to use the criminal justice system as a sort of default fix-all. And people don't like something, they want the Department of Justice to come in and investigate. All this comes as the president's lawyers are traveling the country making unfounded claims of election fraud.
It's disgraceful what happened.
The lawyers and the president himself have attacked local Republican officials who have certified the election results. Some of those officials are now facing death threats. Today, a Republican official in the office of Georgia's Secretary of State is pleading with the president to stop.
Stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed.
That was quite a moment today. John Carl with us live from Washington. And John, we saw the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, in your report there. We know that several Giuliani associates are under federal indictment. And tonight you're learning that Giuliani has asked the president for a preemptive pardon. And I know you're aware there's also talk among Trump allies of potential pardons for members of the Trump family.
David, we are told by multiple sources that Giuliani in recent weeks has directly brought up with the president the possibility of getting a preemptive pardon for himself. We are also aware of conversations among Trump allies about pardons for the president's adult children, but so far no word yet from the president on any of this.
And David, in the meantime, John, you've reported here after the election, the president and his team sending those emails asking supporters to donate money with subject lines like "we're making huge progress" and "the pathway to victory is clear." And I know tonight you're learning how much the president has raised. And where's this money going?
Yeah, read the fine print. Most of it is not going to the president's legal defense fund. It's going to the Republican National Committee and to the political organization the president has set up to handle his activities after he leaves the White House. We are told they have raised, David, $170 million since the election.
All right, John Carl with us here on a Tuesday night. John, thank you. And news tonight for the millions of Americans struggling to make ends meet during this pandemic. President-elect Joe Biden formally introducing his new economic team, telling Americans struggling that help is on the way. Here's Mary Bruce.
Today in Miami, hundreds lining up to get help buying groceries as the pandemic devastates the nation's economy. President-elect Joe Biden today speaking directly to these suffering Americans.
Our message to everybody struggling right now is this: help is on the way.
Biden today introducing the team that he says will rebuild the economy. Former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, his pick for Treasury Secretary.
It's an American tragedy, and it's essential that we move with urgency.
The scope of the economic crisis is massive. More than 50 million Americans could go hungry this year. Nearly 7 million are at risk of eviction, and more than 20 million are now on unemployment. One of them, 60-year-old Diana Adelmo of San Antonio, Texas, who was laid off.
I feel just scared that things, I want to stay positive and think, oh, maybe, you know, something will come. But I don't know at this point. I don't know.
Biden imploring Congress to act now.
The full Congress should come together and pass a robust package for relief.
Well, you heard what Joe Biden said there today, the president-elect. Mary Bruce live in Washington. And today we noted somewhat of a rare moment, a bipartisan group of senators actually presenting a compromise plan for relief. So give us a reality check, though. Where do things stand at this point, Mary?
Well, David, this bipartisan group of senators is certainly trying to up the pressure, but the reality is that the two sides still remain far apart on the details. This compromise bill, for instance, would not include another round of stimulus checks for all Americans. Even Republican leader Mitch McConnell today admitted that even if they do get something done, the Biden administration will likely want to do more. For the first time, David, McConnell acknowledging that Biden will indeed be the next president.
All right, David. Mary Bruce, our thanks to you as well tonight. Winter is already here in much of the east tonight in the Great Lakes. Heavy snow, in fact, in the eastern Great Lakes, a travel nightmare in Cleveland, up to a foot of snow, and there's more on the way. And now temperatures are plunging from the northeast all the way to the deep south. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee, tracking it for us again tonight. Hey, Ginger.
Hey, David. Yes, that foot of snow in South Thompson, Ohio, just northwest of Cleveland. That would be one thing just for the roads alone, but there are folks without power as this bitter chill settles in. The winter storm warnings still extend all the way into West Virginia. We've got Pennsylvania, including Erie and Western New York, that are going to get blasted here tonight through tomorrow morning. As I track it for you, you see it's really after noon tomorrow that you start to see some clearing along the lakes, but then it moves into New England. With it comes 30 to 40 mile per hour gusts, and we've got freeze warnings as far south as Ocala, Florida for tomorrow morning, David.
But a little less windy at your live location tonight. Ginger Zee, our thanks to you again. When we come back here on a Tuesday night, the manhunt this evening here in the Northeast, several attacks, and what the police chief is now saying tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, we are following a manhunt in the Northeast in Waltham, Massachusetts, a mysterious string of violent and apparently random attacks. Police in Waltham releasing this surveillance tonight of a possible suspect. At least 10 men have been injured in 3 weeks, all after sundown. One victim showing fractured injuries to his face there. Authorities say the motive may be, quote, the thrill of the assault. They are asking for the public's help tonight. To the index of other news tonight, and that missing boater rescued at sea, now back on dry land. Stuart B. spending hours clinging to his boat. It had capsized. He was found 86 miles off the Florida coast. He described the moment flagging down the container ship that rescued him, docking today in Delaware.
I took my shirt off, just waved that several times, waved it several times, and I continued to do that until about 45 minutes later the boat was close enough.
He called members of the crew the nicest guys ever, I'll say. And we take note tonight of World AIDS Day. So many around the world, of course, remembering the lives lost to HIV/AIDS. Roughly 1.2 million Americans currently living with HIV. President-elect Joe Biden and his wife Jill today saying the coronavirus is a reminder that, quote, we cannot let up in our efforts to fight other epidemics. And it was 65 years ago today, December 1st, 1955, seamstress Rosa Parks was arrested after refusing to give up her seat to a white passenger on a city bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Her act of civil disobedience would help propel the civil rights movement, and she later reflected on it, saying, I did not get on the bus to get arrested. I got on the bus to go home. Finally tonight here, America Strong. After so much spending on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, thank goodness for Giving Tuesday. Tonight on this Giving Tuesday, the simple acts of kindness. In West Harrison, Indiana, 11-year-old Elijah Maines loves basketball. A FedEx delivery driver noticing the basketball hoop had been broken for some time, and she decided to surprise him. A new basketball and a new hoop. Writing this message to his family, "Just wanted you and your son to have the best hoop that'll grow with him and all of his friends. It's wonderful that you guys shoot hoops with him." Signing it, just one of the FedEx drivers for the area, Aubrey. Tonight, Elijah, right here.
Hi, David.
With his new basketball and new hoop.
I'm very thankful for my new basketball hoop and my basketball. I use it a lot.
And his thank you.
I really want to thank Aubrey as much as I can. She's the world to me.
He takes the shot. It's good. There are so many ways to help, large and small. We've been tracking Feeding America.
Unfortunately, the food crisis persists. In those long lines at food banks are families in crisis.
Tonight, Feeding America telling us so many of you have responded. Donations pouring in.
These are pretty heavy.
And another group, Give Essential, helping to connect donors to frontline workers.
Hi, David.
This nurse in Chicago, grateful.
I received a wonderful package from a donor in California.
And in Manchester, New Hampshire, a mother of three, Brandy Bison, deciding to pay for a stranger's groceries.
She was crying and she said, "Thank you so much. You don't understand what this means to me."
Brandy did it again and again and again.
We've been on both ends of the spectrum, so to speak. And it's not a good feeling when you don't know where you're going to get food for your kids.
What a powerful lesson for her little boys. The small acts of kindness all over this country. Thank you for watching here tonight and for giving. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.